again bid you welcome. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. Always good to get together, we say. See some faces I haven't seen for a while. I was almost going to say I see some old faces, but that wouldn't sound quite right. But we're glad to have you with us today, very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. As Rick said, the title of the lesson, The Four Rules. But he said there's so many more rules than just four. Well, it's about four this morning. The scripture said to us there's about 12 or 15 different rules or just bits of obligations on your part and mine. But this morning, four rules. Rules and laws are something we just cannot escape. I remember when I was teaching in Tango Unified School District, elementary school. Sometimes I'd ask the kids, how old do you think you have to be before you don't have to obey any more rules? Well, hands go up. When I'm teen, I don't have to obey any rules. Another one punches in, no, you gotta be 18. Another one said 21. Of course, the answer is you'll never reach an age where you don't have to obey rules. They're there for us. We have house rules. I was growing up, we had curfew, chores, had to mind our manners. Sometimes mom would just say, just behave yourself. That's a rule. At school, there's school rules. Classroom rules. So then years ago, article in the paper, some of you may not remember, but there was a newspaper column from Ann Landers. Now, you have to be old enough. But she put on here, there were golden rules for living. She had 12 of them. I know if I start this rule, you can finish it. Number one, if you open it, close it. If you turn it on, turn it on. If you unlock it, lock it. If you break it, admit it. Number five, if you can't fix it, call in someone who can. Number six, if you borrow it, return it. My dad always said, and returned in better condition than the way you received it. Number seven, if you value it, take care of it. Number eight, if you make a mess, clean it up. Number nine, if you move it, put it back. Number 10, if it belongs to someone else, get permission to use it. Number 11, if you don't know how to operate it, leave it alone. I remember the story my father-in-law would tell, heavy equipment operator. Sometimes he'd have a guy get in the seat next to him in the heavy equipment. And Daryl, my father-in-law, would tell the guy, now this is lever A. And see, when I move it this way and that way, this is what it does. And the guy next to him said, lever, you mean lever, don't you? Says, no, I mean lever. This is lever B. You don't touch that one. So, lever A and lever B. Then the 12th rule that Ann Landers had down here, if it's none of your business, don't ask questions. Rules. Businesses have rules. Namely one, boss is always right. I remember before I became a school teacher, I was in sales. I'd go to these industrial parks, small businesses, sell bookkeeping forms and things. Just cold call, not walk in and say, do you want what I have? I went into one business, had a big sign behind the lady at the desk. The sign said, we shoot every third salesman. The second one just left. You ever hear of Murphy's Law? Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. Then he had a corollary to it at the worst possible moment. Murphy also said his law was, nothing is ever as simple as it first seems. He said another one, whatever you set out to do, something else has to be done first. He also said if you improve or tinker with something long enough, eventually it'll break. He also said his rule was, by making something absolutely clear, somebody will be confused. Mm-hmm. Our lesson this morning, we talk about rules. Laws, if you will. Obligations. Behavior. I think we might, all of us might fall into one or more of these categories at some time in our life. So here are four basic ways of life. Number one is called the iron rule. And it says, do unto others what you would not want them to do unto you. And then the corollary is, and you do it before they do it unto you. Do unto others what I don't want them to do to me. That's what we would call a pagan law of life. Heard somebody use this phrase, it's the law of the jungle. You just do to somebody else before they do it to you. It's viciously doing to others whatever you wish, as long as it serves your purpose. And then included in that, the one who abides by this law, he doesn't have any concern for the welfare of others. It's the law, you may have heard the expression of might makes right. Or somebody says, I can do that because I can. That's their law of life. I can do it. We have some examples of that even in the Bible. Go back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Cain rose up against Abel and killed him. Why'd you do that? I didn't like it that God accepted his offering and not mine. I think I can take him. And he does. The law of the jungle. I'll do it because I can. In 1 Kings chapter 21, 17 verses tell the story. Ahab was king of Israel. And he had plenty of vineyards. He's the king. But there was one man, a man named Naboth. Naboth had a vineyard, just a spot, right next to the king's house. Naboth would not sell the land to the king. So Jezebel, Ahab's wife, made up a false charge against Naboth, and Naboth was stoned to death. And then Ahab takes the land. Ahab, why'd you do that? Well, it's the iron rule. I'm king. Might makes right. I did it because I could. Some people live by that law. Even in today's society, you know people that live by the iron rule, or you might just read about them. People that don't have any respect for law and order. Well, the law says this. I don't care what the law says. I can do this. I can break in and enter. I can rob, steal. I can take another person's life in society. I'm going to protect my turf. That's the iron rule. You know, we have rebel forces in some of our places where our missionaries preach. And the rebels just come in and live by the iron rule. They come in and destroy the worship assembly where our missionaries are preaching. The iron rule. I'm going to do to somebody else what I don't want them to do to me. In fact, I'm going to do it to them before they do it to me. That's the iron rule. Number two, I call it the brass rule. That's do unto others as they do unto you. And added to that is do it more or worse than what they did unto you. It just means I'm going to act in kind. You did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. You know, we ask sometimes when our boys, that front and center boys, why'd you hit your brother? The answer is, well, he hit me first. And then he says, and the other person says, yeah, but he hit me twice. Why'd you do that? I want to teach him a lesson not to hit me again. Brass rule, do unto others as they did to you. It's a common response in our world. I'm not going to start something, but if they do something to me, I'm going to do something back to them. And almost exactly as they did to me, and maybe even worse. That's my law that I live by. This kind of life would probably not be lived if we received more instruction. Sometimes people just want to take the easy way. Jesus said concerning this law, Matthew 5, verse 38, you've heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye, and tooth for tooth. And people will read that and they won't keep reading where Jesus, but I say unto you, and it was in our scripture reading this morning. No, I want to live by this law, this brass rule. I want to live by the law that says eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Whatever you do to me, I'm doing back to you, and I'm going to do you worse. You ever hear that phrase, road rage? Every once in a while, Christine, I'll be going down the freeway, and all of a sudden, two cars just zip past us. Whoa. I don't know if they're racing or if it's road rage, but sometimes you just look down the freeway a little bit farther, you see the other one pass the other one and cut him off. He cut me off first. Well, I'm going to get even. I'm going to do to him exactly what he or she did to me. I'll get even. Of course, when you get even, then the other person has to get even with the getting even. You ever notice that? And it never stops. You hit me, I hit you. Well, now I've got to hit you again because you hit me. And you hit me harder than I hit you. Oh. And that was in our scripture reading. Don't do that. Not an eye for an eye anymore. It's not tooth for tooth. So I don't know how you received that scripture reading. I don't know if it came in and said, that's not the rule that I live by. Pray for your enemies. If your enemy is thirsting, your enemy, you have to give him a drink. Oh, no, no, no. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Wow. The third rule, I just call the silver rule. Do not do unto others what you would not want them to do to you. And added to that is just don't do anything to help anybody else. In other words, if someone says, if you don't help me, I'm not going to help you. And I'm not going to help you because I don't want you to help me. I only want to live by myself. I can take care of myself. I don't need anybody. I can handle this all by myself. And if you're in need, I'm not going to help you because I don't want you to help me if I need help. Wow. You see, the silver rule is passive. The silver rule says, I'm not going to harm anybody. I'm just minding my own business. And many people have found this rule to be satisfactory for their life. I've resolved in my life, my rule of life is I'm not going to harm anybody, and they don't. But they're not benevolent to anybody either. I'm just going to live my life. Law of It's an attitude that says, just leave me alone. This rule, I'm not hurting anyone and I'm not breaking any laws of the land. The rule is silent on doing good. It just says, I'll take care of myself. I'm not going to help you and I don't want you to help me. Somebody used the phrase, that's the wooden Indian religion. That wooden Indian doesn't do any bad. That wooden Indian doesn't do any good either, does he? Just stands there. This person says, I may show up for an event, but I'm not going to sign up for anything. See, it's passive. Don't call me. I'm doing just fine. I'll take care of myself. I'll pay my debts. Yeah, good for you. You're doing fine on that. Yep. I'm not breaking any laws. I'm going to just keep to myself. Remember the story of the Samaritan? And the priest and the Levite? It's in Luke chapter 10. And there was a man taken among thieves, and it was discarded the man was by the side of the road. The priest comes by and looks, but I live by the silver rule. Don't bother me, I won't bother you. My law of life is passive. I'm not going to do anything except do what helps me. The priest and the Levite go by. Yep, I see a person in need. And I'm not going to help because I live by the silver rule. I'm taking care of myself. I'm not wretched. I'm not vile. Not law-breaking. Nope. Not a vandal. Nope. I just don't help people. And they like that. They like that lifestyle. Jesus tells that story. And then he says to his audience in Luke 10, verse 36, now which of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which of these three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? Who was neighborly? He said, he that showed mercy on him. Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. You know anybody in need? Know anybody that needs some help? Know anybody that would like to receive a phone call? You know anybody that needs a word of encouragement? Living by this rule keeps you from doing good unto others. You're good, but you're good for nothing. You're not doing anything. But you have that confidence, I'm good. I'm not violent. I'm not lawbreaking. But I'm passive. I don't want you to help me, and I'm not going to help you. Then the golden rule. Jesus said it in Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. All right, now how do you want to be treated? Now it's active, isn't it? It's not passive. Whatsoever I would that men would do to me. I want someone to help me, call on me, give me words of encouragement. Whatever I want people to do to me, do ye even so to them. Oh, worst both ways. Back and forth. Right. And then Jesus adds, this is the law and the prophets. I can't be just still. I can't be satisfied that I'm just doing it my own way and say, don't call me and I won't call you. I can't live like that according to Jesus. The law, the rule, the prophets says, whatever I want you to do to me, I need to do to others. It's involvement. It takes us away from self-service. And it seeks the benefit of somebody else. That's the golden rule. It's an attitude of life that even looks for opportunities. It's a life that serves others. It's a life that blesses others. And it's in a manner in which I would like to be blessed. I'm hungry. I hope somebody feeds me. If I'm down and out, I hope somebody gives me a word of encouragement. If I fall, I want someone to pick me up. Golden rule. It's golden. Do unto others. Yeah. As you'd have them do unto you. Jesus said it in John chapter 13, verse 34, new commandment I give unto you. Not the eye for an eye anymore. Tooth for tooth. New commandment. And it's new because Jesus sets himself up as the example for it. New commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By definition of love, it's an attitude that seeks the best for someone else. It takes us out of self. You love one another. Then he sets himself up. Here's the example. As I've loved you. Jesus, what did you do for me? It was in our communion message this morning, wasn't it? I gave my life for you. Love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. And then it's the badge of discipleship. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. That you're my disciples. If you have love one for another. So the question now comes in closing. Which rule of life fits you most closely? Iron rule? Brass rule? Silver rule? You think silver, that's pretty good. The golden rule. It's golden. It's golden. I want you to not only admire the teachings of Jesus, but I would ask you to become a disciple through obedience of faith. We extend this invitation at the close of every lesson. You're here this morning and not a member of the New Testament church. You haven't identified yourself as being part of the body of Christ, which is the head. You haven't identified yourself as a student of the Master, a follower of the Master. By definition of disciple, it's one who studies the Master's teaching, imitates the Master teacher. I'm a disciple of Jesus, meaning I want to do what he wants and what he's taught. So Jesus taught his disciples at the very end before he ascends back to the Father. In Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world. Make disciples of every nation. How are you going to make disciples? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. As great as it is to be a listener, or just sit and hear. Jesus followed baptism up with teaching them to observe, do, put it into practice. But some people are just satisfied with hearing. Foolish, how foolish. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is a good news message. Preach it to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's what I want. That's the invitation we extend. The last words of Jesus. What's on your mind, Jesus? What do you have for us? Wants the disciples to go teach. Those who hear, he wants them to believe, to repent, and be baptized. And then continue learning and observing all things, everything that he's commanded. If you're subject to that invitation, you haven't done that already, you just need to respond at the close of this song that we're going to sing. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that does this for us. If that's your desire, if that's your... What's on your mind is simply let it be known.